So not all of you know me, so I'm going to introduce myself first. I'm William Preston. And yeah, there's another Preston over there. And then, Julie and I are supported by this church. The mission field that we work in, which is with making these crosses. And you see a few of them sitting here. And I just want to thank all of you for supporting that mission field. It has brought so many people to that throne of grace and that perfect love. God continues to do work through a string ministry. We call it the Barnabas Ministry because we like to encourage people to follow Jesus. And I get to do that today, encourage you to keep following Jesus and trust him with his word. You know, his word is what sets you free from this world. Not anything else. You just got to stay in the Word and keep trusting His Word and live your life according to His Word the best that you can. But don't forget that when you fall short, as we all do, that you already have a Savior. You've been covered by the blood of Jesus. And you can go to that throne of grace, and it's there always. All right? So don't forget that. But Julie's going to give anybody that hasn't gotten one of these crosses, she's going to go at the end of the service today. And she'll be handing those out. Anybody who wants to, even if you've gotten them before, she'll have some up there if you would like some to hand out. Maybe you want to minister to your neighbors, or someone at the store or whatever. You're welcome to have some. We appreciate your support in that ministry. And God blesses us richly with his love and joy and peace because of it. So today's sermon, like I said, is Forget Him Not. Sometimes in our busy schedule, sometimes in our trouble, we tend to forget who God is and we forget about that perfect love. We forget that love is a forever love too. It goes with us forever. He's the beginning and he's the end, the Alpha and the Omega. And so when we stay in fellowship and stay in connection with that perfect love, we can get through anything. I know it because my life, I've walked away from that truth. There's times in my life I walked, even after he put me in ministry, I walked away from it because I got angry at the church. But you know what? He never gave up on me. He kept pursuing me, and he showed me that perfect love in a powerful way. And he's I can never deny him again because I had to learn pride is what happened in that situation. I didn't understand that I had pride in my life, but he had to show me that pride. It's easy to get prideful when you're doing something for the Lord sometimes, and he had to humble me and put me in a place where I would give him all praise and glory and not have, point to me, look what I'm doing kind of attitude. And he's forgiven me for that, and he still gives me a purpose. He's got me up here today, and I just praise him, and I thank him for it. So the first scripture that I'm going to read to you today, and he's going to put it up on the board, is Psalm 103. And this psalm came from David, and he was talking to his own soul. He was talking to himself, reminding himself not to forget. Not to forget his first love. And it just, I got hearts all over this scripture because it just reminds me of that, how we should be in that relationship. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." And then he says, "And forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Wow, what a powerful prayer that David had. That really, he's just talking to himself. He's speaking to the Lord, but he's reminding himself through that conversation he's had, and that I don't want to forget you, Lord. I don't want to forget you. But it's a deep knowledge. He wants that deep knowledge of God. He wants to go deeper. It's a heart worship. It's in the spirit. He's worshiping God in the spirit, and he says, "With all of me." So he's really telling, "With all of me, I want this. I want to stay in that perfect love with all of me so I don't forget." So, and there, like I said, there was times that I forgot. about that perfect love. But he never forgot that he loved me. He kept coming after me many times, and I didn't realize it until I found myself in a place I never thought I'd ever be. And I praise him for that. And we all should praise him for that as well. I know that we all have troubles, and sometimes it's hard to remember in the troubles, but I'm just reminding you because he told me to. Over, you know, this week we've been working on the house at our home and trying to get it ready to sell because we want to move up here to Knoxville. We live in Des Moines, and you know, and it's difficult, you know, sometimes to get here. We want to be here. We want to be in our church. We want to be with our church family. We want to be here to help you and encourage you and build you up. God's a builder. He's not. He doesn't tear things down. He builds them up. Right. So I'm thankful when we're here, but we've been working on the house, and as I was working on the house, I'm watching this transformation take place. And he's reminding me of the transformation that's taken place in me and others around me. I was like, I'm looking at, so during this whole time, I was helping this neighbor and that neighbor. They'd come over and ask for something. I'm sure I'll help you. And, you know, I'm going over there and I'm thinking of the transformation that took place in me, that there was a time I would have just ignored them. I would have just shunned them instead of responding to that call. And I thought, you're so amazing, Lord. It's you. It's not me. It's no longer you, but Christ that lives in me. I know that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I just, Julie's looking out, and she's watching me and making sure that I'm okay. And then he brings out a drink and makes sure I'm drinking and plenty of water, you know. And I'm scraping the house and I'm painting it. And, you know, and it just, I'm watching this transformation. And I still got one side left, and it's on the south side of, or west side of us. And, those neighbors have some struggles. And I'm up on the ladder, and there's a lady over there with her little girl, and I just finished taping off the windows, and I go inside to get a drink before I go out to spray. And I decided to make a bracelet for this little girl. God told me to make a bracelet for this little girl. I didn't know her. And make a bracelet for the neighbor next kid next door, because he's grown, he's outgrown the ones I've made him in the past. So I know he's gotten bigger, and I haven't given him one for a while. And so I'm up on the ladder, and they come out the front door. I didn't want to bother them until I seen them. And I'm up on the ladder, and I just yelled out, "Hey, I got something for you, for your daughter." And the lady that was a stranger, I didn't know her, said, "Really, for my daughter?" I said, "Yeah." And I pulled it out of my pocket, and I just tossed it to her. And I pulled another one out, and I said, "This is for Tommy." "Oh, okay, thanks. That was really nice of you." And I heard my neighbor, who Julie and I have been ministering to for a long time. Now, God didn't have me give him the message I normally give him. I normally say, "I love you and Jesus loves you more," right? You all know that. But God said not to, and I thought it was kind of odd that he had me not say that, but next thing I know, the neighbor lady says, "That's so you can remember Jesus loves you." Right? I was like, "Wow, God, there's... because of the transformation that's taken place in me, I'm watching, and I've gone and shared my faith and my story, my testimony with this neighbor. She's ministering, even though she's not where she needs to be in Christ, she knows that message, right? And I'm just so thankful that God stopped me from speaking what I normally speak, and that she got to say it. And then the lady, I come down off the ladder, she said, "I like your shorts." And I said, "You like my shorts? They're not very special shorts. They're all torn up and they got holes in them." She said, "You remind me of my grandpa." And I said, "Oh, I do." She said, "Oh, but I didn't mean that you're old, but just the way the shorts. He used to wear those kind of shorts." I said, "Okay." Well, it opened the door. It seems funny, right? But it opened the door for me to minister to this lady. She said, I'm down off the ladder. She's talking to me. She goes, "Man, that was really nice of you. You're such a good man." I said, "No, it wasn't me. It was Jesus. Jesus was knocking at your door." And she's like, "Oh, no, you got to claim at least 10%. I said, "10%? I ain't claiming none of it. It ain't me." She said that to me. "You got to claim at least 10%. I said, "No, I'm not claiming any of it. It wasn't me. It's Jesus. He called me to go in and make a bracelet. When I went in there, he spoke to my heart. And he said, "Make that little girl a bracelet." And then he told me not to say anything to you. Just say, "Here's a bracelet for your daughter." And he let my neighbor, your friend, minister the word that I gave her many times to you. See how God works? Now, if you trust him, he'll do the same thing with you. He'll transform you into his image. And that's what he's doing. It's a lifelong transformation, though, right? We don't even obtain that glory until later on. So, all right, we're going to go to another verse. It's really important. It's where Jesus is answered prayer, really. John 10. We're going to John 10. All right. This is Jesus, the true shepherd, because we need to understand who Jesus is, right? We need to understand that truth. So we're going to read John 10, 1 through 10. "And most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Now this is talking, but then it goes on. In 7 it says, "Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." So he's reminding us that he's the door. He's the only way to get to God, right? He's the only way that we can be saved. And then he says, "All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." He says, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and kill and destroy." So there's a thief out there. We all know who he is. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's why we need to stay in the fold, right? We need to come to church. We need to hear the word of God. We need to stay in that fellowship. We need to, you know, we need to trust God. That's why we have a church building. And that's why he calls us to work together in this church. Amen. Praise God. He's the saving shepherd. That's what he is. And there is no other shepherd like him, right? So now we're going to look at another verse in John. We're going to go to John 14:6. And we already know what that says. He's the way, the truth, and the life, right? You know, I like going to it, even though I know that verse. I like going to it and reading it. So let's read it. Jesus said to him, and he says it to all of us, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Okay? We can't have the power to go and speak to our neighbors and love them the way we love them and do the things we do to bring people to Christ without that power that he gives us. He's the only way to that power. And I'm reminded about this verse all the time because sometimes I see things that, you know, are going on and God wants me to pray. You know, we have to pray for those people that don't understand that truth, right? You know, there's a lot going on in this world and even in our churches, right, that are wrong. But God calls us to pray because, remember, we're not up against those people. He wants everybody to be saved, so we have to make sure that we're praying for those people, and when we have opportunity to do it, we encourage them to follow the true shepherd, right? When we see something that's wrong, we need to really speak that truth because it's in love. You do it in a loving way, and you point them in the right way, that right direction, point them to the way, the truth, and the life, okay? And I'm just, this is a reminder that we don't forget these things. We don't forget him, right? Forget him not. And now we're going to go to Colossians 2, 6 through 10. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. It's about walking in that power, in Christ, right? Rooted and built up in him. It's a deeper life. You know, you ever plant a tree, a new tree, and maybe you didn't bury it deep enough? Maybe you even forgot to put it in the hole and you left it sitting out there, and maybe you let it sit out there too long. I've done that. And those roots will take hold of the ground. They really will. They'll take hold of that ground. And then it's hard to get that thing up out of there, even when it just does it a little bit. So that's the way he wants us rooted in him, is that nothing can take us from him, right? And nothing can. We know that it's his power that keeps us rooted in him. But just remember, that's who you are in Christ. You're rooted in Christ. He says, we're rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught. About. Now, when he says, so walk in him, that means we have to be in the word, right? We have to be, in order to be in him, we have to be in the word. And you know, we love to get in the Word. Julie and I do. We get in the Word all the time. You know, we Bible study together all the time. We want to get up here and invite some of you over to Bible study with us sometime when we get a place up here. But the other thing I like to do is remember His amazing grace, right? So we post it in our home. When people come over, they know who I love. I love Jesus. I post it. I wear shirts all the time that speak that truth. And then we do everything for the glory of God, right? And we watch him heal the brokenhearted, even our broken heart sometimes, right? Because that's what he does. And because of that, we're all blessed, right? Because of that relationship, because of what he does in our life, we're all blessed. But first you have to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. And that's Matthew 6:33. You have to seek Jesus first. There's no other way. We just read that scripture. It's the truth. This is God's word. This is truth. Okay, I'm going to drop those. I better put them back in here. I had a bigger box to bring, but I thought I better not bring them all. You know how that is, right? But anyway, I think it's important for me anyway to post those things in my home, in our home. It just, you know, I get up in the morning, I see him, and I'm reminded each and every day. And plus, you know, I got pictures in my office of all these children and all these people that I've ministered to throughout the years, and I get to pray for them as a reminder, too, to be a church of prayer, not a vipers and thieves. That's what God calls us to be, a church of prayer. We pray for all of you every day. And now that some of you we just met today, and you'll be in our prayers as well. It's important that we pray for one another and continue to do that. So don't forget each other either. So we don't forget God first, right? We don't forget his blessings and what he's given us in Christ, and we stay focused on that relationship. We stay in the word, because of the word, we have to be rooted in the word, right? And then he, in that same place, he reminds us to beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, or according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. And I wrote, danger, danger. You ever see that? I think it was a robot. You say, danger, danger, Will Rogers. All right? You'd always say, danger, danger. So that's what made me think of writing that down there. Just, you know, writing that in my Bible. Anyway, all treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in the Father and Christ, right? We know that. So next we're going to go to Colossians 3:1-4. And this is the last one. I don't know my time schedule. I told you I'm not keeping track of time. I'm not going to have you do this today. We're just going to go. We're going to go, and we're going to let God do what he's going to do, right? So Colossians 3:1-4. And I just went too far. All right, 3:1-4. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on this earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So it's a lifelong transformation into the image of Christ, but we don't even paint it until we see him in his glory and become like him. That means when we go and we see him face to face, because we're all going to do that one day, we're going to see him face to face, we're going to look at him, and we're going to, oh, my Lord, my Savior, my King, the one that set me free, it's really you. And I love you so much. And you've done everything for me, and I want to do everything for you. That's the kind of attitude you need to have now, not just when you see him face to face. That's the attitude you need to have now. Get on your knees, pray and praise him always. Holler out his holy name. When you have a heart song, that's what David really was doing. He had a heart song. He's saying, Lord, I don't want to forget you. So he had a heart song. And my heart song is, thank you, Jesus, for your love. Thank you, Jesus, from above. You're my Savior. You're my King. And you're the one who set me free. That's my heart song. And I say it all the time. When I'd be walking to McDonald's to minister or wherever God sent me to minister with my backpack on, I just sing that song. I just sing that song. And I'd get there and I was ready. I was ready to talk to anybody about Jesus, right? Because I sang that heart song so much, it's just like, wow, I got to tell these people about Jesus, right? He wants us to share our faith. He wants us to, but hold, really wants us to hold on to our faith so people see our faith. Right? It isn't always about what we say. A lot of times it's about what we do, right? So, mostly it's about what we do. So just, do your best, but trust God with helping you do your best, because I couldn't do it without him. And now I just want to, again, thank all of you for being here and for loving Jesus, my Savior, my King. And we love you. Jesus loves you more. And now we'll just close in prayer. So Heavenly Father, we just praise your holy name. We thank you for this time together. We thank you for your perfect love. We sang it in the song about your perfect love. And we can just rest in that truth, that you are our Savior. You're our King. And you set us free from this world. Nothing else can set us free. We need to stay focused on you and your word and your truth that sets us free from this world and the troubles in it. So, Father, I pray for everybody here today that they will just remember that truth that you, not to forget you, the one and only God, the true God, the God of the Bible, the God of creation, the God that sent his only begotten Son, and whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I pray that everybody here knows that truth and understands they first have to come to that kingdom, that place, that throne of grace, and remember your amazing grace. And you're the only one that can reveal it to them. So I pray that if there's someone here that doesn't know that truth, that you'll reveal it to them in a powerful way, and they will come here to this altar and come to receive you in a powerful way. And we love you, Jesus, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the first commandment. And then to love others as yourself. So we love you, God. We love you, Father. And we love each other and our neighbors. And we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name.